not a student of yours, but my math is colorful because of your students who were my friends. So thank you. As everyone knows that reference. Amazing. Okay, I guess it's still going on. And of course, we have Rabbanit Malka Bina, who is here representing Matan and is going to be talking at the end of Shani Shiur about the Matan Advanced Summer Program that is happening there. I might be there, so maybe we could all learn Bechavrusha. So enjoy. There are source sheets going around. And I believe the shiur is going to be recorded and be on YU Torah, so if you have friends that didn't hear it, they can hear it afterwards. Okay, thank you so much.
Kayla, firstly, it is so wonderful to be here. I feel usually one opens the Chod HaChsanya, but in this case, I feel that it's a second home. And by that, I mean not only learning here in Stern, but having the Chod, like coming back and seeing so many Talmidot Chaverot. But before we begin, we have a very special Chod today, and that is to hear from and learn together, not only as Chaverot Talmidot, but also from my Mora. And now we have in our presence, really not only in Rabbanit Bina, who founded Matan, but ultimately as a trailblazer for all of us in the realm of Talmud Torah L'Nashim. And therefore, before we get to enjoy the fruits of Talmud Torah, Tnu La Mipri Yadeha, Yalua B'Sharim Ma'aseha, Malki Bina.
Thank you to Shani. Now it's so funny to call Rabbanit Shani Tarragon, but Bemet, our Talmidot, our Bogrot from Matan, Baruch Hashem, we've had this chut 25, 26 years ago. I realized that women have to learn Torah in a Beit Midrash. It wasn't enough in the classroom setting, but Beit Midrash was also a natural setting, a desirable, appropriate setting for women to learn Torah. And I just went ahead and did it. I think it's right. I think it's important that everyone has dreams. I think Shani had dreams. I had dreams. And even if on the reality level, I know many of you are going to go on to whatever graduate school, business or law or whatever area, psychology, fine. But to dream about also going in the depths of Torah, to dream about, my grandmother used to say, you say the truth when you sneeze, it means you're telling the truth. Anyway, so everyone should have whatever has been said right before, it's the truth. So everyone should have dreams. Everyone should have dreams. It's important, and I think dreams of really being able to. So immerse oneself in Torah. If it's for a summer, this is our that we have two weeks, and we made our 2 week advanced summer institute, the 2 weeks before the Gush, so that you could really have 3 weeks. You'd have the 2 weeks at Matan, and then come the 9 days and the beautiful Torah week that is provided by the Gush Etzion Yeshiva. That being possible, once we said Gush Etzion, of course we should say, and Shani I think is going to dedicate to Rav Aaron Lichtenstein Zatzal, who was on the Rabbinic Advisory Board from the beginning. He advised us regarding Matan. Before we opened, there was a very difficult question we had to deal with, and I said to Rav Aaron, I have to speak to you. His father was very ill. And he said, I can't leave my father's bed, but this is something very important. If you have to come even today, come to the hospital. I'll step out of the room, and we'll discuss the issue. And that's what I did. That's what I did. I went to the hospital. So first you learn the Kibud Av, that comes first. But if you can do it, be by the father's side, and he would take a rest, or someone else came in, and he could also take care of other matters that were important. He did that as well. So anyway, but the days of the Gush... So those who can come in this summer, those who can learn here at Stern, I'm sure they're wonderful programs that you're doing, and other times, take off a year before learning, or really, I mean, the biggest dream, if one can dream in high levels of scholarship, dream to give back to the community, whether it be informal education, high school teaching, post-high school teaching, we need talented, bright, women such as Shani, continuing, going on. I mean, at Matan, many are continuing in Israel, to those who want to make Aliyah, or to continue and do those who want to be teachers in the United States. We're now working on a program, a 1 year, I don't want to go into, we want time for the learning, August 2016. Those who want a Tanakh, Advanced Tanakh and Jewish Studies Educators Program that Matan intends to have, August 2016, a year or 13 months of learning. So there are really wonderful opportunities available in Matan's Beit Midrash, if there are other places, but hang on to the dreams. Work hard at them. Do whatever else you have to do, but don't let go of dreams that are, even if they're on the back burner for a while, you should try to fulfill them when you have the opportunities in whatever ways that you can, because you never know how you can impact. I just want to say there's someone in Matan, our first student, when I interviewed her, we didn't have a building, we didn't have anything. I mean, even myself, like seeing how things grow and develop. I interviewed her in a restaurant with her. She came with her little baby because we were going to open also a Beit Midrash, a scholars program. And she came and I saw she was talented, she was motivated, she wanted to learn. Now Rabbanit Oshra Koren, she runs all of Matan and Ranana. Those who've been to Israel know what a wonderful high level of Torah life. Matan came to Ranana, changed the whole lifestyle. So much Torah, so many shiurim for women that are available in Ranana. She developed the bat mitzvah program. I don't know if any of you have done the mother-daughter bat mitzvah program. That's in maybe 100 places. It's been translated to English, to Spanish, German, Schwitzerdeutsch, and all kinds of different languages. And hundreds, thousands of mothers and daughters over the years have. So that's from one person. One person who spent 3 years in a Beit Midrash learning Torah. How much energy of Torah can come to the world. And that's why also I felt it was so important for women. Women were more than 50%, I think, right? I don't know, I didn't read the latest statistics. At one time it was 51%. 51% of the Am Yisrael that's not learning Torah at a high level. I thought that wasn't right. That wasn't right. And now, Baruch Hashem, 25, 30 years later, it's so much more is available. And really, one of our proud, wonderful graduates from the Matan Beit Midrash, who's heading in Lindemann, any school I mentioned in Shalavim, in Herzog, and so many wonderful Torah institutions that she teaches Torah at such a high level. And it's our pleasure that Matan is able to bring Shani here with us. Various cities, we're going to the United States, and Aliza was in touch with us. Thank you, Aliza. It's a wonderful gathering of Torah for women. Rabbanit Shani Taragish.
Yeah. This really is, I must say, a highlight of our trip, Gemma, to be here. And Aliza, thank you for organizing this. And as I'm looking around, thank you everyone for coming from all over. And because this is really what I would say creates the dynamic of Torah learning. It's not about coming to Eretz Yisrael for a year, and even Shanabet, which you know I very much, Gemma, support and encourage and pressure, Gemma, but ultimately it's about continuing your Torah learning in whatever environment you see yourselves in, and certainly in a wonderful one such as Stern College, to ensure that you build off of your Torah learning, to make sure that the foundations and the skills that you've received are going to be honed over the years, and that Ezrat Hashem, to come back to a place like Matan and to continue that education on a grander level. And by that I mean not only sharing with your communities, but serving as role models, and that both for yourselves, your families, and those around you. So without further ado, we're going to get started. And here I have to tell you that Mikol Malamdai Hiskalti Umitamidai Yoter Mikulam. And by that I mean FOMO. You guys saw me FOMO. I remember 8 years ago, a student came in and she said, Shani, I have a real problem with FOMO. Every time, you know, I'm in the Beit Midrash, but my friends are out, and I'm experiencing FOMO, and I thought that there was some disease that I just didn't know about. And she finally taught me about the fear of missing out. And that's what we're going to see comes alive when we learn Pesach Sheni. And the reason why I chose to focus on Pesach Sheni today is because as we're in the midst of Sfirat HaOmer, we generally think
Mamash
of...
Mamash the midst, you know, I think it's Mamash, literally... Half, right, because it's 24.
No? That's right. So we are almost halfway. Right,
we'll be halfway.
That's right. So in the climax of Sfirat HaOmer, as we think about the transition from Matzah to Chametz, from Yetziat Mitzrayim to Matan Torah, from Karban HaOmer, the Karban of the Seor, of the barley, to the Minchat Shtei Halechem, to the Karban of the wheat, and we think of the development of the process. We think of the idea of counting days and counting weeks. All the nafkaminot lahalacha of appreciating that on one hand, every day stands alone. On the other hand, it really is a process that challenges us to develop during this time, and sometimes, unfortunately, what's a little overlooked is Pesach Sheni, which is also mentioned in the Torah itself. And when we think or when we ask, if I would say to you, again, what is the significance of Pesach Sheni? Just yell out. What do you think, Pesach Sheni? What is this chag, this date, all about? So I'm waiting for someone to say.
It's the makeup. It's when somebody really wants to do the mitzvah, but they can't at the time, so there's another time.
Beautiful. It's a makeup mitzvah, right? Tashlumin. Where we're going to see that the Torah actually presents it in a very dynamic manner. And when we appreciate the context, then we understand that it's not just about a second chance. It's not just about making up, but Pesach Sheni represents something fundamental in the Torah itself. So first what we're going to do is turn back, obviously, to Pesach Rishon, the prototype of Pesach, beginning with Yetziat Mitzrayim. And this is already told to us in Shmot, Perek Yud Aleph, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Od nega achad avi al paro v'yal Mitzrayim, achareichen yishalach etchem mizeh, kishachol kala garishi garish etchem mizeh. Moshe has to tell Paro, and from here we're going to see in a moment that he told him apparently, and after he's already heard about Karban Pesach, he's told that there's going to be one last nega, which Moshe Rabbeinu understands on his own. From Perek Dalet, when Hashem said, I'm going to send Kol Niflootai, and when Paro refuses to send out Bini B'chori Yisrael, Hinei Anochi Horeg et Bincha B'chorecha. So Moshe understands, it's time for Makat B'chorot. But Hashem also says, tell Am Yisrael to go and borrow pots and pans, kelim, nice yantif clothing from the Mitzriim. Pasuk Dalet. Vayomer Moshe k'amar Hashem, k'chatzot halayla niyotzei b'toch Mitzrayim, omet kol b'chor b'eretz Mitzrayim, mi'b'chor paro ha'yishiv al kiso, ad b'chor ha'shevcha sharachar ha'rechayim, b'chol b'chor behema. He has to foretell to Paro the impending danger that he's going to suffer through at the deaths of the firstborn in Mitzrayim, comprehensive firstborn, the firstborn of the animals, the firstborn of the slaves. And in the meantime, for Bnei Yisrael, lo yacharat kalav lishono. There are going to be screams that will be transpiring in every Egyptian home, and not a word, not even a bark, coming out from the dogs against Am Yisrael. Ve'ardu kol avadecha ela elai. And Moshe already tells Paro, you should know that this is going to be the Makeh B'Patish. This is what's going to force you to send us ultimately out of Mitzrayim. And therefore what we find is stage one, Makat B'chorot is the means through which, as Moshe delineates to Paro, this will be the means through which Am Yisrael will leave Mitzrayim. It's this nega which is going to strike Paro so harshly that he's going to then send Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. But at the same time, Moshe is instructed to tell Bnei Yisrael, wherein Makat Bechorot is the means through which we leave Mitzrayim, Makat Bechorot, technically, can also affect Am Yisrael, unless you do what? Mishchu ukhu lachem tzon l'mishpachotechem v'shachatu ha-pasach. You have to sacrifice the Karban Pesach. Through this sacrifice, you will demonstrate your faith in Hashem. You will manifest an association with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You will show that you are identifying with God against the Egyptians. So what do you have to do? Ulakachtem agudat ezov utvaltem badam asher basaf. V'igatem ala mashkof el shtei hamezuzot min hadam asher basaf. You have to place blood upon the saf, the lower threshold, and the mezuzot, the two sides, and the mashkof. Lo tetsu ish mipetach beito ad boker. And no one can leave the entrance to the home. Va'avar Hashem lingolf et Mitzrayim. And then Hashem is going to come and strike Mitzrayim. Vira'a et hadam al hamashkof. And when Hashem sees the blood on the threshold, ve'al shtei hamezuzot, upasach Hashem al hapetach. So firstly, this is just a pet peeve of mine. Looking back at the beginning of the pasuk, Vavar Hashem Lingof. What does that mean? Avar Hashem Lingof. What will Hashem do? Hashem will
come.
Avar will literally pass over and at the various homes of the Egyptians in order to strike them. And now tell me, what does Uhasach Hashem al Hapetach mean?
Hover.
And then God will, excellent.
Hover.
This is Machas. Jamie's right, God will hover, right? It doesn't mean that God will actually pass over the homes of Am Yisrael. That's Va'avar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to hover. Hashem is going to protect the homes of Am Yisrael and not allow the Mashchit, the destructive force, to enter the Batim of Am Yisrael and go. Ushmartem et hadavar hazeh l'chok l'cha ulevanecha ad olam. Vaya ki tavo al ha'aretz asher yitein Hashem lachem kasher diber ushmartem et avodah hazeh. So Moshe tells them, for the sake of survival from Makat Bechorot, you have to offer the Karban Pesach. In other words, Makat Bechorot will be the means through which Am Yisrael leave Mitzrayim, but Karban Pesach will be the means through which Am Yisrael survive Makat Bechorot. And Moshe tells them, or Hashem tells Moshe, not just now, in the future as well, Vayaki Tavol Ha'aretz Asher Yitein Hashem Lachem Kasher Diber Ushmartem Et Avodah Hazot. When you get to Eretz Yisrael, you're going to continue to sacrifice this Karban Pesach. And when Hashem tells this to Moshe Rabbeinu, can anyone tell me what's the plan? By when, Be'ezrat Hashem, will Am Yisrael be in Eretz Yisrael? Well, let's try to see. When they eventually do leave Mitzrayim, then we know that about 7 days thereafter, they're confronted by the Egyptian army, by Yamsuf, and miraculously, they survive Yamsuf. Then, within 7 weeks, where do they come?
Har Sinai,
Mamad Har Sinai, and they're there, as we know, right, by default, because of Chayta Egel, right? They're there building the Mishkan. But a priori, one can imagine that how far away are B'nai Yisrael geographically from Eretz Yisrael? From Har Sinai, we hear in Sefer Devarim, anyone remember how far away are B'nai Yisrael? 11 days away, meaning that at what date or on which date was Am Yisrael supposed to enter the land? 10 days after, right, Chafiyar, right, Rosh Chodesh Sivan. It shouldn't have taken them that long. By the next Pesach, Hashem is anticipating that they're going to be in Eretz Yisrael. So Moshe already has to know this is going to be a continuous avodah. Vayaki yomru alechem b'nechem ma'avodah hazot lachem. And in the future years, when your children ask you, what is this avodah? That's when you're going to tell them, "Amaritam zevach pesachu laHashem, asher pasachal batei bnei Yisrael b'Mitzrayim, b'nakfo et Mitzrayim v'bateinu hitzil." When Hakadosh Baruch Hu hovered over our homes and thereby saved us, vayikod ha'am v'yishtachavu. And Am Yisrael, who were more or less, I would say, separated from Moshe Rabbeinu throughout the past 7 chapters, they now are restored to their initial respect in Moshe. Vayachol v'yasu bnei Yisrael kasher tziva Hashem et Moshe v'Aharon kenasu. And what's interesting is that we hear, firstly, that Moshe Rabbeinu only tells B'nai Yisrael about Karban Pesach, even though Hashem had commanded him both about Karban Pesach, and anyone remember what else Hashem said? Not only are you going to have the mitzvot of Karban Pesach, but also of a 7-day matzah eating festival called Chag HaMatzot. Why doesn't Moshe speak or teach Am Yisrael the laws of the 7-day chag of matzah eating while they're still in Mitzrayim? Because it's not going to be relevant for them. That will only be relevant once they enter Eretz Yisrael. When does Moshe tell them about Chag HaMatzot? So now we're ready. Perek Yud Gimel. Immediately after we hear about Yitziat Mitzrayim, Hashem says, Kadesh li kol b'chor, peter kol rechem b'bnei Yisrael, badam uva behema lihu. Imagine this. The day after Makat Bechorot, the day after Am Yisrael miraculously leave Mitzrayim and are saved from Makat Bechorot due to Karban Pesach, Hashem says, now tell the firstborn that they're sanctified. And what does Moshe understand? Hashem wants me to teach them how they're going to recount the events of the previous evening. But at this very moment, why is it important, I would even say imperative, that the Bechor recognizes that he's sanctified? I can just imagine a little bit of post-traumatic syndrome for every firstborn. What do you think he's feeling the next day after Makat Bechorot? Oh my gosh, right? That could have been me. I could have died the previous night. And Hashem says yes. Each firstborn is going to be sanctified. So first Moshe says, now I know that you have to remember everything that happened the night before. You're going to have to remember next year when you come to Eretz Yisrael. Vayaki yiviyacha Hashem al Eretz HaKnani HaChiti HaMori HaChivi HaYibusi Asher Nishba Labotach HaLatet Lach Eretz Avat Chalav Udvash VaAvadata Et Avodah HaZot VaChodesh HaZeh. and you're going to sacrifice the Karban Pesach again. And this is when Moshe realizes, let me also tell you, when you come to Eretz Yisrael next year, you're going to celebrate this holiday for 7 days. Shivat yamim matzot tochel, tocham matzot, v'yom ha-shvi'ish, shemchag la-Hashem, matzot yachel, et shivat ha-yamim, v'lo yireh lecha chametz, v'lo yireh lecha sa'or b'chol gvulacha, v'yigadet ha-levincha b'yom ha-hu. And you're going to educate your children as well, telling them, v'avur zeh, because of what I did, I sacrificed Karban Pesach. I identified, I demonstrated my faith with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why Hashem saved me. But just remember that you have to wear tzvilin, v'ayalacha lo'ota yatcha l'zikaron b'neinecha, to remind yourselves that who ultimately took you out of Mitzrayim? It was through the Yad Chazaka of Hashem. Hashem saved you through Makat B'chorot, but you did something to be saved from Makat B'chorot. And then Moshe Rabbeinu continues and explains, Pasuk Yiraleh, Vayaki v'yacha Hashem al Eretz Haknani, Kasher nishpa lecha levatecha unetana lach, v'avarta kol peter rechem l'Hashem, v'chol peter sheker behema asher yelecha scharim l'Hashem. Keep in mind that based on Sefer Shemot, who are sanctified to Hashem, who apparently are going to have a special role with regard to Avodat Hashem? The firstborn. And why does that make sense? Why should the firstborn be sanctified? The firstborn, by the way, both of people and of animals. The same firstborn who potentially could have been killed off in Mitzrayim. Why do they have to know that they are set aside, that they are Kadosh Lahashem? And as the Parshanim explain, what does that mean, that they're Kadosh Lahashem? It means that they have to devote their lives to Tavodat Hashem. I can imagine the sense of vulnerability, the sense also of gratitude that these b'chorot have. How many of you, by the way, are firstborn? Wow, this is a significant percentage. So imagine what it would be like to know that you could have been killed off in Makat B'chorot, Chas V'Shalom, and Hashem saves you because of Karban Pesach. So indeed, you're going to feel a greater sense of submission before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're going to feel that you should sacrifice your lives to Hashem, and the Bechor then is a very worthy candidate. In addition to that, the Bechor is actually a very democratic candidate to represent every family to Hashem. Imagine, does every family have a firstborn? And even if one wants to argue that the firstborn has to be a firstborn male in a grander family, in a clan, even if you may not have a firstborn male in your family, probably amongst your cousins, there is someone. Meaning everyone will have their family representative, like the House of Representatives. Everyone will find that they are going to be represented in the Mishkan through these bechorot. And as we know, this is not going to last long, because ultimately what happens, the same firstborn who should feel a greater connection, a greater sense of devotion and commitment to Hashem for saving their lives, the same firstborn do what right after Ma'amad Har Sinai? They sin in Egel HaZahav. And what happens immediately thereafter in Shmot Parak Lamed Bet, Vayar Moshe Ta'am Ki Paruahu Ki Pra'o Ha'aron L'Shem Sadek Amehem. And yes, you're supposed to see the word association of not only the wildness of the nation, but certainly they were acting, so to speak, like Paro. Vayamod Moshe b'shar ha-machaneh vayomer mi la-Hashem elai. Right? Matityahu gets it from Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayasvu elav kol b'nei Levi. And who comes committed to Moshe? Who stands with Moshe Rabbeinu devoted to Hashem? Zafka b'nei Levi. At that point, Moshe tells them, Kol amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Simu ish chabo ayerecho. Ivru v'shuvu mishar l'shar b'machaneh. Virgu ish et achiv, ish et reo, ish et krovo. Okay, all of my compatriots, my tribesmen of Levi, you're going to go and kill all those who are actively worshipping Avodah Zarah, even if they're your own relatives. Vayasu b'nei Levi kidvar Moshe. Vayipol min ha'am bayamahu kishloshet alfei ish. There were 3,000 perpetrators of Avodah Zarah. 3,000 men who are actively worshipping the Egel. Vayomer Moshe, mil'u yetchem hayom. What an interesting and a very ambiguous terminology. Moshe says, fill up your hands today. Anyone tell me, what does that mean? Mil'u yetchem hayom. Your hands should be filled today. What does that remind you of? The term, mli'at yadayim. Or milu'im. Does that remind you of anything? it should remind you of the whole process of inauguration. And sure enough, this is where Rashi explains, at this very moment, right after Chayta Egel, right after the punishment of Egel HaZahav, Moshe already tells them, Atem horagim otam b'dvar zeh tidchanchu liyot kohanim l'makom. Okay, today your training starts. Now you're going to replace the Bechorot as Leviim, serving basically as pseudo-priests in the Mishkan. You now have to fill up your hands. You now are going to start your practicing as a Kohanim, or as we now are going to call them, Leviim in the Mishkan. But not all the Parshanim agree. What else can Mil'u Yetchem literally mean? Fill up your hands. Fill up your hands with what? With the blood, with the murder. Ki ish bivno bachri v'latet alachem hayom bracha. Fill up your hands as you go and you kill all those who are sinning with Chayta Egel. But notice the very end of the pasuk. Then Moshe adds, v'latet alachem hayom bracha. And then you will receive a bracha. And what seems to be the bracha? Well, later on, not in Shmot, and not in Vayikra, but in Bamidbar, we're going to hear that the Leviim are set aside to work in the Mishkan. And maybe that's what Moshe is alluding to. Sure enough, the Sforno explains, what's Mil'u Yetchem Hayom LaHashem? Heknu Shleimut LiYetchem Hayom SheTiyena Muchanot LaAvdo B'Mikdasho. Today, you start your Avoda in the Mikdash. Ki Ish B'Vno B'Achiv Ki Kol Acham Mikem Kvar Hudash LaHashem B'Vno. Binyan Hamila Shasitam Bamidbar, you're already somewhat sanctified by virtue of the fact that you're all circumcised. Uba'achiv Barigat Hayom, Velachin Milu Yetchem Bitov, Hakavana, Vihishlimu Hachanatchem Lahashem Lavodato. You already started. Each member of Am Yisrael is potentially sanctified to Hashem. We do devote our lives to God, even if you're not the firstborn. One should recognize that our lives are dependent on the survival provided to us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, explains the Sforno, the Leviim are just continuing a process that they've already begun. V'latet alechem hayom bracha, umul'u yetchem gamkein, ba'ofen she'itein Hashem yitbarach alechem hayom bracha. And I hope you do a good job, certainly a better job than the Bechorot before you. Or Rav Tzvi Mecklenburg and Haktava HaKabbalah explains as well, milu yetchem, he says, atem ha'orgim otam bidvar zet tetchanchu liyot kohanim l'makom. Says first, he quotes Rashi, that through killing or punishing all those who are worshipping Avodah Zarah, that's how you ingrain people with a sense of Avodat Hashem. And then he goes on to say, uve'emet in tzavich lahaktim et hamu'uchar, which Rashi always does. Ki malei yitachen heyotzo tzivui kimo milu arba kadim. He says, just because Moshe says, milu yetchem hayom, doesn't necessarily mean that today they start acting as Leviim, as Kohanim. No, not necessarily. He's saying this is what will be. And sure enough, when do we finally see the active selection of the Leviim instead of the Bechorot? Not in Sefer Shmot. And not in Sefer Vayikra, wherein who are the stars of Sefer Vayikra? Kohanim. We only hear about Kohanim. We don't hear about Leviim. But then we open up Sefer Bamidbar. And this is very exciting, even though we're still in the midst of Sefer Vayikra right now. But when we get to Sefer Bamidbar, we appreciate for the first time ever in Tanakh a wonderful phenomenon. The phenomenon of two simultaneously chronological Sfarim. Isn't that magnificent? As opposed to Breshit, which chronologically is followed by the development of Am Yisrael and Sefer Shmot, and Vayikra, which continues with the selection of Am Yisrael through Mamad Har Sinai. Now we see how they engage in a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Mishkan. Bamidbar parallels to Vayikra, meaning that the first nine, ten prakim of Sefer Bamidbar are parallel to events that we've already heard about in Sefer Vayikra, namely the construction, the erection, the inauguration of the Mishkan. And in this context, we hear that Bamidbar is a separate, independent Sefer, because as opposed to Sefer Vayikra, which Chazal connote Torat Kohanim, focused on the Kohanim, Bamidbar is all about the Machaneh. And that's why we first hear about the formation of an encampment. And then we hear about the way that Kedusha is infused in the encampment. You have to send out a Zav and a Mitzorah and a Tami Lamit. We hear about how you can be a Kohen in the Machaneh through the Nazir. We hear about how a Kohen, who was in his ivory tower in Sefer Vayikra, is going to engage with women such as the Sota lady in Sefer Bamidbar. And then we hear about that day again. What day am I referring to? Bamidbar Perek Zayin, Vayhi Biyom Kalot Moshe Lahakim Et HaMishkan. We hear about the day that Moshe inaugurated the Mishkan. And what happens on that day? Well, if you remember, we've heard about that day for the first time at the end of Sefer Shemot. Do you remember Parshat Pekudei, Shemot Perek Mem? That's where we heard about how Moshe basically inaugurates the Mishkan to Hashem. He dedicates the Mishkan as a temple of God, as one devoted to Hashem. And sure enough, the fulfillment thereof is manifest through the cloud of glory on top of the Mishkan, the Anan HaKavod, the Esh. And that's how the Mishkan is depicted at the end of Sefer Shemot, because it truly has been designated as a place for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All of a sudden, we open up Sefer Vayikra, and we hear about the sanctification of Kohanim and the re-sanctification of the Mishkan. And now we hear, oh, the Mishkan isn't just for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who else is it for? It's for the maintenance crew, namely the Kohanim. It's also for the Kohanim. And we hear about all the karbanot of the Kohanim. And we hear about the teachings of the Kohanim and how the Kohanim are going to be engaged in the Mishkan. And only in Sefer Bamidbar, that deals with the Machane and the interplay between the Mikdash and the Machane, only then do we hear for the third time that the people are going to be represented in the Mishkan as well. The Mishkan isn't just for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it isn't just for the intermediaries, the Kohanim. It's for every single member of Am Yisrael. And therefore, in Sefer Shemot, we heard about Moshe being very active inaugurating the Mishkan. In Sefer Vayikra, we hear about the Kohanim and their Shivatim HaMiluim and the triumphant but simultaneously tragic day of Yom HaShmini, wherein Nadav and Abihu are killed off. We hear about the engaging of the Avodah of the Kohanim in the Mishkan. And then we turn to Sefer Bamidbar and we hear, oh, Moshe wasn't the only one busy on this day. And it wasn't just Aaron and his children very busy on this day. Rather, what else happens at this time? Vayhi biyom kalot Moshe lakim et hamishkan, pasuk bet. Vayakrivu nisiyei Yisrael rashei beit avotam. Who else is in the Mishkan on Rosh Chodesh Nisan? All the nisiyim, the tribal leaders representing Bnei Yisrael. They're also there. Ha'omdim al ha'pekudim. Vayaviyu karbanam lefnei Hashem. And they bring their karban. And if you remember, this is where we hear that each nasi basically brings the same karban as the other one. And Hashem tells Moshe, pasukei, kach mi'itam, take the agalot, the wagons that they've donated, vahayu la'avodet avodato al mo'ed, v'natata otam el ha'leviyim, ish kefi avodato. And you're going to give them to the Levi'im. You're going to give them to the families particularly of Gershon and Merari to carry the curtains and to carry the beams of the Mishkan. And from here we learn that by Rosh Chodesh Nisan, by then the Levi'im also find out that they're going to be involved in the Mishkan. So according to Rashi, they already knew that months earlier by Chayta Egel. But according to the Ramban, for example, he says that's when the Levi'im officially become and begin to serve as replacements for the firstborn in the Mishkan. Only on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Imagine this event. We always think that Erev Pesach is hectic in our homes. Imagine what Rosh Chodesh Nisan looked like in the Mishkan. You have Kohanim busy offering their karbanot of Miluim. And you have Moshe Rabbeinu busy inaugurating the Mishkan. And now we hear about Nisiyim who are there. And you ready? What do we hear about right after? Perekhet. We hear that while Moshe is inaugurating the Mishkan in general for Hashem, it's going to be firstly the Nisiyim who inaugurate particularly. Anyone remember which part of the Mishkan has to be inaugurated for us? Which location of the Mishkan are we going to be most actively involved in? The Mizbeach, right? The Mizbeach HaOlah, the Chatzer. And right after that, we hear that Aaron sanctifies the menorah for Bnei Yisrael. And immediately after that, Perek Chet Pasuk Vav, Kach et Halevi'im mitoch Bnei Yisrael v'tiharta otam. Another event going on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Take the Levi'im and sanctify them. V'chot ha'selehem l'taharam. Hazeh alehem mechatat. Ve'biru tar al kol b'saram. Ve'chibsu b'gdehem b'hitaharu. Take them and firstly shave off all their hair. Anyone tell me, what does that do when you shave off someone's hair? What does that remind you of, by the way? Who else has all his hair shaven? The Nazir, beautiful. And who else? The Metzora, excellent. This is a way of saying we're starting from scratch. Right? Almost like a newborn child. Right? They are being reborn on this day. V'ikrafta talavim lefnei olmoed v'ikalta et kol adat b'nei Yisrael. V'ikrafta talavim lefnei Hashem v'samcho b'nei Yisrael et yidehem al halavim. Who else is there? Not only do we have the tribal leaders, the Nesiim, representing every member of Am Yisrael, every proletariat within the people, we also have Am Yisrael basically appointing the Levim as their representatives, placing their hands as shlichim on top of the Levim. Ve'nif Aaron et ha-Levim, and the Levim are waved, so to speak, over the Mizbeach. And what is the repetitive word, the milam mancha, throughout this section? You're going to take the Levim, tnufal b'nei Hashem, me'et b'nei Yisrael. Take them from b'nei Yisrael. These Levim are the new firstborn. Perhaps they may not be the ideal representatives in the sense of one member per family, but at least now we have one tribe of Am Yisrael that will be represented in the Mishkan. V'alevi'im yismuchu et yudehem al rosh ha-parim. We are going to place our hands on the Levi'im. The Levi'im place their hands on the parim, on the cows, the bulls that are going to be sacrificed on the Mizbeach, trying to show that they are really serving as our messengers and in bringing these karbanot. V'amadata et ha-Levi'im lefnei Aaron v'lefnei banav, v'enafta otam tnufa la-Hashem. V'evdalta et ha-Levi'im mitoch b'nei Yisrael v'yuli ha-Levi'im. Hashem tells Aaron, take the Levi'im from b'nei Yisrael, mitoch b'nei Yisrael, and only then yavo ha-Levi'im lavod et o'am o'ed, v'hitarta otam v'enafta otam tnufa. Again, Pasuk Tet, Ki nitunim mitunim heimali mitoch b'nei Yisrael. They are the true representatives of b'nei Yisrael. We finally hear it. Tachat pitrat kol rechem b'chor. In place of the b'chor. In place of the b'chor, who should have been so sensitive post-makat b'chorot, we now hear that the Levi is going to carry that mantle of responsibility of representing the b'nei Yisrael. Lakachti otam li. Kili kol b'chor b'bnei Yisrael, and Hashem says, but every b'chor still belongs to me, because I save them from makat b'chorot. Be'yom hakulti kol b'chor b'eretz Mitzrayim, hiktashti otam li. Ve'kach et ha-Levi'im tachat kol b'chor b'bnei Yisrael. And again the terminology in Pasuk Yitet, ve'tznat ha-Levi'im netunim la'aron ulevanav, mitoch b'nei Yisrael, la'avod et avodat b'nei Yisrael ba'om o'ed, ulechaper al b'nei Yisrael, v'lo yiyeh b'bnei Yisrael negeth, the Geshet B'nai Yisrael El HaKodesh. And Hashem tells Aaron, not only are the Levi'im going to be given to B'nai Yisrael, but you who oversees them, they're also there to protect you. They are going to be the intermediaries between B'nai Yisrael and the Kohanim, and ultimately serving to protect both of them. Telling Am Yisrael, don't go too far. Don't go inside the area past the Mizbeach, and at the same time protecting the Kohanim. And I must say that especially now, when I reach these psukim, and then I meant to begin the shiur by, as Rabbi Nipina said, dedicating the shiur lezecher oli'iloi nishmat Rabbi Mori Harav Aaron Lichtenstein, I think of the mantle of leadership that Aaron, right, that Aaron HaKohen had, of not only training his own children to serve as Kohanim, but training Levi'im, training, one can say, vassals of his mission to represent B'nai Yisrael and to make sure that through them, B'nai Yisrael will be infused with a sense of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I say that when I think of the Torah that I learned from Rav Lichtenstein, I think of the words of Rabbi Akiva, of Shali v'shalachem, he said Shelahi to his wife Rachel, but I say Shelohi. And even though it's true that Rav Lichtenstein promoted tremendous learning, especially Talmud Torah LeNashim, in the realm of Torah Sheba'alpeh, he was so passionate about learning Torah Shebechtav, being privileged to listen Shabbat after Shabbat, not only to Shirei Klali, but Sichot, his Friday night sichot, wherein he would scream the messages of the parsha, and or at Su'udah Shlishit, where he would literally offer musar, and through the parsha. And this is really what a leader is, and the loss that we're all suffering now. But back to the psukim. So when Aaron oversees these Levi'im, the Levi'im are supposed to represent our connection to this Mikdash. The Levi'im then are mitoch b'nei Yisrael. And you're all supposed to say, but Shani, I thought this year is about Pesach Sheni, because until now, everything was introduction. What happens right after we hear about the Levi'im, who are going to be trained from the age of 25 to 30 and officially begin to officiate at age 30, we end Perek Chet and begin Perek Tet. And instead of taking Perek Tet out of context, now you understand that both chronologically, but also conceptually and from a very literary and figurative perspective, we're going to see how connected Pesach Sheni truly is to Hakdashat HaLevi'im, to the sanctification of the Levi'im. So if all these events happen on Aleph Nisan, we find that there are 7 days of inauguration for the Kohanim, there's Yom HaShmini, that's Chet Nisan. In the meantime, though, do you remember, not only are the Levi'im being sanctified, but who else is bringing Karbanot all these days? The Nisi'im. How many Nisi'im are there? Excellent. So they're going to finish on Yud Bet Nisan. What's going to happen right after? It's time for Pesach. This is a very hectic time period for Am Yisrael. And we hear then, on this same day, not on Yubet or Yigimol or Yadalad Nisan, Bamidbar Perek Tet begins, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe b'midbar Sinai b'shana hashinit l'tzitam Eretz Mitzrayim b'chodesh harishon lemor. What's b'chodesh harishon? Chazal learned that every time you have a date or a month without the particular day of the month, we know that it's Rosh Chodesh. So now we have another event that happens on Aleph Nisan. There are Kohanim. There's Moshe's inauguration. Nisim are there. Levi'im are there representing Am Yisrael. But in addition to all this, Hashem comes to Moshe amidst the hectic activities of Aleph Nisan and tells Moshe, it's time now, Vayasu b'nei Yisrael, atah Pesach b'moado. I didn't think Am Yisrael was still going to be in the Midbar right now. But what do you know? It's the year after Yitziat Mitzrayim. What is the time to do? To sacrifice the Karban Pesach. You have to tell them already on Aleph Nisan to sacrifice the Karban Pesach. That's a little strange. When should Hashem tell us to sacrifice the Karban Pesach? Why not Yud Bet, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet? Why do we have to hear on Aleph Nisan? There's so much going on Aleph Nisan. Kohanim are inaugurating the Mishkan. And Nisim are inaugurating the Mizbech. And Aaron is inaugurating the Menorah. And the Levi'im are starting their first day on the job. And even though the Nisim and the Levi'im represent B'nai Yisrael, what could the members of Am Yisrael feel on Aleph Nisan? We're just passive bystanders. We're watching everyone else, even the Nisim and the Levi'im, who represent us, who represent the Machaneh. They represent the other tribes of Am Yisrael. But still, we're just standing by. We're not doing anything. What does Hashem say on Aleph Nisan? Not to worry. Now that you have a Mishkan, what are you going to do? Every member of Am Yisrael is responsible for sacrificing and eating a Karban Pesach. And this is beautiful, because the Karban Pesach is the one karban, a katshe kalim, which you can actually eat where?
All of Yerushalayim.
Eat over all of Yerushalayim. Or in the case of Pesach Mitzrayim and Pesach Midbar, pre-Yerushalayim, or Gana pre, Amakom, Asher Yivchar Hashem, where does everyone eat it? In their homes. What does Hashem say on Aleph Nisan? While we're standing at the outskirts of the Mishkan, saying all those who represent us, offering Karbanot Hashem in the Mishkan, Hashem turns to us and says, not to worry, you have Pesach. You can transform your own homes and your machaneh into a mini Mikdash. So go already. On Aleph Nisan, know that now that you have the presence of Hashem, you also have a Karban Pesach, a means of sanctifying your machaneh through a karban that Nisim aren't going to be the only ones to bring, and Levi'im and Kohanim and Moshe Rabbeinu, each and every member of Am Yisrael is going to participate in this. In other words, Hashem teaches us the universal nature of Avodat Hashem. And that's what Karban Pesach represents. It's the one karban that every every member of Am Yisrael eats from simultaneously. It's the one karban wherein we can eat this karban in the machane. It's the one karban wherein we're limited. We have just a few hours, as opposed to a night and a day, or a night and a day and another, or a day, a night and a day. We have just a few hours wherein we all are going to participate in Karban Pesach. But now, we're still bothered. If Moshe Rabbeinu, do you remember Shmo Perek Yud Gimel, a year earlier, he had already told them, okay, now that we left Mitzrayim, you have to remember that for years on end, you're going to continue to sacrifice Karban Pesach. So why do Bnei Yisrael have to be told with an independent dibur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to explicitly command them with regard to Karban Pesach? Don't they know about Karban Pesach? Don't they know already on Aleph Nisan that in 2 weeks from now, they're going to be celebrating the Karban Pesach, their 1 year anniversary since Yitziat Mitzrayim? But the answer is that it's not so clear. Because when they came out of Mitzrayim, what did Moshe Rabbeinu tell them? From now on, when you sacrifice Karban Pesach, what else are you going to do? You're going to be celebrating a 7-day matzah eating festival. You're going to be in the land of Israel. So what could I think? Well, I'm not in Eretz Yisrael right now, so maybe I really shouldn't sacrifice Karban Pesach. And what do we learn from this? We don't know it yet. But next year, are Bnei Yisrael going to be in Eretz Yisrael? Now, there were a couple of forestalments along the way. Do you remember? Anna, Tavira, Kivrot Tatava, Miriam Sarat, Achita Maraglim, that was the big one. Right, 38 years, they're now going to be wandering throughout the wilderness. And therefore, we learn, and Chazal extrapolate from here, that because HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't come and speak to Bnei Yisrael in the course of these 38 years, do they celebrate Karban Pesach in the next, in the ensuing 38 years in the Midbar? No. This is their one time wherein on their first anniversary they have to reinforce and internalize the memories that were created from the previous year. They have to concretize the experience of 12 months earlier by celebrating the Karban Pesach. And just when we think that now, what a beautiful theme, that at the same time that every member of Am Yisrael is bringing a Karban, in addition to every member here through bringing the Karban Pesach, we have Pasukei, Vayasu et HaPesach, Barishon, Barbas, Aryom Lachodesh, Ben Harbayim, Ben Midbar Sinai, Kachol Asher Tziva Hashem et Moshe, Kein Asu Bnei Yisrael. Yes, they all participated. What a beautiful, not only national holiday, what a beautiful way to identify themselves, and what a beautiful way to show that there's Kedusha in the Machane. Because this is the one and only Karban that you're allowed to eat in your own homes. That's not the end of the story. The Torah continues and tells us something phenomenal. Vayhi anashim asher hayut me'im lenefesh adam. But there were some people who were tamei lenefesh. Velo yachlu lasot ha-pesach bayom ahu. And they could not participate on that day. Vayakruvu lefnei Moshe lefnei Aaron bayom ahu. If you're tamei lenefesh, what's the problem? You can't bring a karban, even if it's kachei kalim. Even if it's a karban in your own home. So, okay, the seder, they're putter. Sometimes you're limited from fulfilling a mitzvah. What should they do? They should say, excellent, we're saving ourselves some calories. We're exempt. But that's not what they say. Vayomru anashim ha'ema elav, anachnu tmeim lenefesh adam. They approach Moshe Rabbeinu. And they say, which by the way means that first they went through the sarei alafim and the sarei me'ot. Do you remember Yitro's suggestion? Until it comes up to the Supreme Court Justice and they come to Moshe Rabbeinu. And all the judges say, we don't know what to tell them. What are they demanding? Lama nigara. What is the translation? FOMO. Why should we miss out? We don't want to miss out. Now look carefully. What do they mean? What are they missing out on? They say, Lama nigara levilti hakriv et karban Hashem b'moado. At first glance, it seems that, what is their FOMO fear? What are they missing out on? On a karban. That's right. It's not fair that we can't offer this karban. But that's not what they say. What did they say? Betoch b'nei Yisrael. It's not fair, Moshe Rabbeinu, that we should be missing out. It's not on the delicious barbecue meat. That is not what we're complaining about. What do we want to miss out on? We don't want to miss out on being part of this comprehensive, universal, national holiday. If we aren't part of Karban Pesach, then what are we basically saying? We're not part of the Machane. That we're not part of the Kedusha that's created in our homes. And that's not fair, Moshe. This is an opportunity where we can show that we're part of Bnei Yisrael. And Moshe says, you're right. As an intermediary then, let me come and approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Imdu v'eshma'a, ma yitzaveh Hashem lachem. And what does Hashem say? Daber al Bnei Yisrael emor. Ish ish ki yatamei lanefesh. Both now, if there's anyone who's tamei lanefesh, and even in the future, and not only if you're tamei lanefesh, but if it's really difficult for you to come to the mikdash to spill the blood on the mizbeach, the derech rechoka lachem olador techem v'asa pesach laHashem, and that precludes you from offering the karban pesach. V'chodesh hasheni v'arbasar yom bein harbayim yasu oto amatzoto moroim yochluhu lo yashiru mimenu ad boker ve'etzem lo yishperu bo kachol kochat haPesach yase oto. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? Don't worry, we don't have this by any other mitzvah. What can you do? You're right. It is so important that you not miss out on being part of Am Yisrael, that what does Hashem allow for? You will celebrate this. You will eat the Karban Pesach with the matzah and the maror. You don't even have to participate in a seven-day matzah eating festival, just the Karban Pesach. Be part of this national experience. But here comes the strange part. When can you partake of this wonderful B'toch B'nai Yisrael experience? Exactly a month later. And this is strange. What was their problem again? What is the phenomenon? What is deterring them from offering the Karban Pesach? Their Tamei Lamit, right? How long does it take to be purified from a state of Tumat Mit? We already know, right? It takes us
a week.
So what should HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? Excellent. Wait a week and then bring Karban Pesach. Why does Hashem say wait a month? And not just a month. V'chodesh hasheni barba sar yom bein harbayim ya'asu oto. Exactly a month later. And just know that only those who really couldn't do it a month earlier, because if ha'isha sherhu tahor, if you were tahor, or you really live close by to the mikdash, and that was your excuse to not sacrifice the Karban Pesach, then v'nechreta ha'nefesh ahi mikarav ama, you're not really part of Am Yisrael. Then you were just coming up with an excuse. But who should be part of this? Yagor yitzchem ger v'asa pesach laHashem. In fact, every member of Am Yisrael, and even those who are part of the households of Am Yisrael. But why a month later? Does anyone remember the significance of Yudalid Iyar? Did anything else happen a month after Yetziat Mitzrayim? So I decided, because you're in Stern College for Women only, that I'm not going to give you every makor, and also because I wanted to keep it down to an even number of pages. But, Anna, anyone remember Anna and Sefer Shmot? Something happened exactly a month after Yetziat Mitzrayim. That's why you all have to come back to Eretz Yisrael and not continue learning Torah. No, I'm joking, but I'm really not. Gana, so what we find, if you remember, exactly a month after Yetziat Mitzrayim, and the reason why this stands out is because the only date that we heard then was Yetziat Mitzrayim, which was when? When did they leave Mitzrayim? On, again, Yudalid was the sacrifice of the Karban Pesach, and then we heard on Tetvav, they actually left the borders of Mitzrayim. And then we hear about Yam Suf, but it never tells us exactly when Yam Suf takes place. And then, do you remember after Yam Suf, they run out of water, and they complain to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem provides them at Marah with water. Do we know exactly when that happened? No. But then they come to Midbar Sin, and we hear that they don't have any food, so they complain to Moshe, and Moshe justifiably calls out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, right, they don't have any food. That's where the Torah says there's a date. It's the first date that we hear about from Yetziat Mitzrayim. Take a guess, what's that date? So actually, Tetvav, but close enough. Gana Tetvav Iyar, Tetvav of the second month, is when the famous story of the giving of the man and the slav takes place, where the story of Masa Umeriva, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu challenges them and is trying to teach them, now that you've run out of your matzah, and it's time for me to continue to provide for you. But this is remarkable. Anyone remember what Am Yisrael complained about? What did they say? Oh my gosh, not only do we not have matzah, they don't even say that, right? We don't have what? What do we miss? Seer habasar. We miss meat. Mind if I ask you, do you think as slaves to the Egyptians that they had meat very often? Certainly not. Right? As a matter of fact, later on, they're going to remember, it wasn't really meat that they had. What did they have?
Fish.
They had fish. That's right. They remember the fish. But right now, they remember the meat. Because the truth is, what was their last meal in Mitzrayim? It was a delicious one. It was, again, Karban Pesach. And therefore, now that they're starving, what do they remember? The last delicious banquet that they had. And that's why they approached not only Moshe and Aaron, the same personalities who instructed them with regard to the Karban Pesach. And what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? Excellent. I'm so happy that you remember that meat. Because do you remember Karban Pesach? The Karban Pesach allowed you to be saved from the plague of the Bechorot, but you had to follow the laws of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What were some of the laws of Karban Pesach? Number one? They said it at the beginning. It has to be
finished
by the next morning. You can't leave anything left over. Excellent. Number two?
No breaking
of the bones. Excellent. Number three? Eat it together and pre-calculate how much everyone is going to eat. You have to pre-measure the amount that every family member will eat so that the entire carbon will be consumed. Number four, when you eat it, you can't do what? You can't leave the confines of your home. Do you remember that? So Hashem says, exactly a month later, Hashem says, excellent. I am going to give you Karban Pesach and Matzah again. How am I going to give it to you? In the form of man. I'm going to give you the spiritual food, wherein we hear the Rashi Tevot of Iyar, Ani Hashem Rofecha, Hashem says. Hashem says, yes, if you follow the mitzvot of the man, what are the mitzvot of the man? On Shabbat, you cannot leave your borders. And what do you have to do? You have to pre-calculate the measurements. What's the required measurement of man? An omer. Excellent. And what's the other halacha of man? You can't leave anything over to the next morning. Sounds a little familiar? Hashem says, I'll provide you with delicious food again. I'll provide you with the man and this love. And this is going to be the way through which you remember that just like I provided you in Mitzrayim with halachot, and so too, if you follow these guidelines, you'll be provided on a daily basis. Why then is that so significant? If we appreciate now that the man was a continuation of Karban Pesach, then what is Hashem telling all the Karban Pesach, we'll say, Gena FOMO people, Gena HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling them, you're right, you missed out on Karban Pesach, but what can you still do? You can participate in Karban Pesach Take 2. What's Karban Pesach Take 2? The man. And exactly a month later, you're going to do the same thing. You'll eat Karban Pesach again. Karban Pesach and man are basically equivalent. They come with the same halachot. And they're meant to show us that the food is provided by HaKadosh Baruch Hu pending on our observance of the mitzvot. So Hashem says, great. And Karban Pesach, take one, is going to commemorate the Karban Pesach of Mitzrayim. And Karban Pesach Take 2, what we call Pesach Sheni, that's going to commemorate the man that you got a month after. And that's also how you're going to participate with the rest of Bnei Yisrael. So here now, we ask ourselves, who were these people? Who were these members who were Tamei Lamit? And Chazal debate exactly who they were. From here we learn a very important rule in Masechet Sukkah, Ha'osek b'mitzvah patur min ha'mitzvah, we already know. If they're involved in a mitzvah, then technically they should be patur. From here, Chazal learn that who were these people who were tmei lanefesh, who a priori should have been exempt from eating the Karban Pesach? They must have been people who were involved in a mitzvah. Which mitzvah? Carrying the bones of Yosef. Is that what we always learned? Yana anashim mihayu? Rabbi Yosef Haglili says, these were those nosei arono shel Yosef. This is a little problematic, though. Because how long have they been at Har Sinai for? Since Rosh Chodesh Sivan of the previous year. It's now Nisan, 10 months later. And I can imagine that where are the bones of Yosef? They're put in a separate ohel. Right? Meaning, why are they still Tamei Lamit? If they know already on Aleph Nisan that they had to sacrifice the Karban Pesach on Yudalid Nisan, then what should they have done? Kept their distance from
from the bones of Yosef, and in the interim, purify themselves and become tahor. So why does Rav Yosef say, no, 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 I'm telling you, these were the ones who are carrying the bones of Yosef. Anyone remember? What do the bones of Yosef represent? At the end of Sefer Bereshit, in Parshat B'Shalach, we hear that after Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim, oh, by the way, Moshe took the bones of Yosef. The bones of Yosef represent the fulfillment of Brit Bein Haftarim. The bones of Yosef represent Kipakod Yifkod Elohim Etchem Valitem Et Atzmotayim Mizeh Itchem. The bones of Yosef represent the fulfillment of the promise of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. And therefore, what are Chazal trying to tell you? Who are the people who really should be putter from Karban Pesach? They're the ones who were involved in another Karban Pesach. If the whole goal of Karban Pesach is to remember Yitzhak Mitzrayim, what were they doing? They were involved with Yitzhak Mitzrayim. And what was their argument? That's very nice that we're involved in Yitzhak Mitzrayim, but we want to be part of Bnei Yisrael. We don't want a separate mode of remembrance. We want to be part of Am Yisrael. We want to stand when the siren sounds, and we want to say Mizmorei Tehillim with the rest of Am Yisrael. We want to be there with Am Yisrael, and when they're participating in this memorial experience. So that's opinion number one. And I'm going to be honest, my favorite opinion is coming up right now. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Mishael ve'el Tzafan Hayu. Who were these people? They weren't just anyone. Who were the people who said, it's not fair? But maybe they didn't say it as, Lama nigara, it's not fair. They said, we really don't want to miss out. And it doesn't make sense that we should miss out. Because who are they? Mishael and Eltzafan. Anyone remember who Mishael and Eltzafan are? Take a look at Vayikra Perek Yud. After Nadav and Abihu are killed, on which day? By Yom Hashmini, on Chet Nisan, who's commanded to remove their corpses from the Mishkan? Their cousins, Mishael and Eltzafan, have to take them out. That means that, as opposed to the other Kohanim, as opposed to all the other, they're not Kohanim, what are they? Levium. That these Levium become Tamei. And now, let's do the calculation together. If they became Tamei on Chet Nisan, then ay vavoy, think of this phenomenon. They're Tamei Chet and Tet and Yud and Yud Aleph, Yud Bet, Yud Gimel and
Yud
Aleph. They just miss it. Isn't this FOMO at its worst? And we were so close. But we're not going to be tahor until after Shkia. And little problem with Karban Pesach, what do you have to do? You have to slaughter it before. And only if you could slaughter it before, could you eat it afterwards. And they say, Lama nigara. And what I believe that Rabbi Akiva isn't just stating, oh, of course, we know of a story that really did lead to Tumat Met. Rabbi Akiva is super sensitive to which words? Who would say La Mani Gara? Why are we missing out on what type of karban? Look back at how Karban Pesach is described. It's a karban that has to be Bitoch B'nei Yisrael. A karban, you know, which is going to show us that all of Am Yisrael participates. And that's why they say in Pasuk Zayin, La Mani Gara Levilti Akrivet Karban Hashem B'Moado Bitoch B'nei Yisrael. Whose words are these? B'toch B'nei Yisrael? Who are the ones to represent B'nei Yisrael? Who are B'toch, Mitoch, Me'et B'nei Yisrael? The Levim. The Levim are saying, Moshe Rabbeinu, this doesn't make any sense. Our whole goal, our mission, is that we're supposed to represent Am Yisrael in the Mishkan. And now you're telling us that this Karban that shows that every member of Am Yisrael has a part in the Mishkan, that we, Levian, can't participate, that is terrible chinuch. We can't miss out on this, because if we don't participate with the rest of Bnei Yisrael, will Bnei Yisrael ever see us as representing them? No. And that's why Hashem says, you're right. So, a month after, on the anniversary of the Man, Pseudo Karban Pesach, you're going to participate as well. You are going to show that you are part of Bnei Yisrael. And the last opinion is the opinion, as we see here, of Rabbi Yitzchak, Imnose Aron Oshel Yosef. He argues against Rabbi Yosef Haglili, just as we said, that if they were technically really carrying the bones of Yosef, they could have been Tahor already. and he believes Mishalan al Tzafan, they could have also been Tahor. Ela Oskin b'meitz mitzvah. Rather, these were people who were involved in burying someone who just died. And sometimes people just die. And what is Rabbi Yitzchak trying to teach? He's trying to teach that Karban Pesach is what type of Karban? It's a very, I would say, day in, day out, machane Karban. It's a Karban that takes into account that people live, but also people die. And therefore, it really could happen. And we know, unfortunately, that it does happen. That lo aleinu, people are nifter right before Pesach. And yes, they become tameh, but they still have to be betoch b'nei Yisrael. So Hashem says, excellent. You are going to be betoch b'nei Yisrael. No one's going to be left out of Pesach. No one's going to be left out of this national experience. And that's why the Ramban tells us that if you think about the calculation of dates, he says that the date really was significant. Understand that it's juxtaposed to everything going on. Vayhi biyom kolos Moshe lakim et hamishkan. That the Ramban believes that the Kohanim and the Leviim and the Mishkan itself were all inaugurated on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. But he believes that the Nisiim only began to bring their Karbanot on Chet Nisan, which means that the Nisiim continued to bring Karbanot all the way through Pesach, showing that Am Yisrael is actively involved both in the Mishkan with Karbanot and outside of the Mishkan with their Karban Pesach. And that's why these people who are part of the Machaneh cannot tolerate missing out on a national, on a Mikdash Machaneh type of Karban. And Hashem says, excellent, because you're not meant to. And this is really the secret of Pesach Sheni, that Be'ezrat Hashem, we won't just commemorate, but we're meant to celebrate. And every year, how do we know we're supposed to celebrate? The Shulchan Aruch says, no tachanun on Sunday. Aren't you excited? And what do you get to eat? More matzah, yay. And I say, why is that so exciting that we get to eat matzah? I thought that we're counting towards the Minchat Shtei Halechem. I thought we can't wait for chametz. So in the middle of it all, time out, time to eat matzah again. Yes, time to remember Karban Pesach again. Time to remember that every time we eat food, that every time we eat our bread, even if it's leavened bread, it's really leavened from heaven. It's really from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it goes hand in hand with our mitzvah observance. And therefore, as we approach the matzah, the chametz eating time, we have to remember that we're still linked to matzah. We have to remember how everything is really the man and the matzah linked to our performance of the mitzvot. But there is another idea that obviously we're supposed to be focusing on during Sfirat HaOmer, and that is Hashem says, everyone has to be part of this experience. Everyone has to be part, especially the Levian, but everyone has to be part of the B'toch B'nai Yisrael experience. And if you didn't have an opportunity through the Karban Pesach itself, then make sure that you take advantage of a Karban Pesach Take Two. Make sure that you take advantage of Pesach Sheni. Make sure that as next week comes along, that we appreciate, again, looking back at the past as we anticipate Sfirat HaOmer, counting towards the future, that this has to be done by enjoining us with all of Am Yisrael. And I always say that I don't think it's by chance that in modern times we have Yom HaShoah, Yom HaZikaron, Yom HaTzma'ut, Yom Yerushalayim, Pesach Sheni, all during the same time. Not only is this a lot of fun in Midrashot, but it should be a lot of fun, or I would say it should reinforce FOMO for all of us. We don't want to miss out. This is the time period of Pesach Sheni, of B'toch and Mitoch B'nei Yisrael. This is a time that we should realize that we have to come together as Am Yisrael. And no one should miss out on an opportunity not only to reinstate our memories of Yetziat Mitzrayim, but reinforce for all of us that we have an opportunity of creating a Mikdash Ma'at in our own homes, in our own schools, in our own communities. On that note, I hope that you have a wonderful, wonderful Pesach Sheni, B'toch B'nei Yisrael. Thank you.